It reads more like an episode of The X-Files than an episode from the life of Jesus, this story that we just heard this morning. Instead of Mulder and Scully, it's Peter, James, and John on the mountaintop, watching in utter amazement and fear as their Lord is transformed into a being of pure, brilliant, blinding light. Holding a conference with Moses, the lawgiver, and Elijah, the prophet. What was it about, this unearthly vision we call the transfiguration of our Lord? What exactly did the disciples see? Well, one common misunderstanding is that the three disciples caught a glimpse of Jesus as he really was. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, in all his divine power and splendor. The Jesus they knew in human form was not the real Jesus, but just a disguise he was wearing. Jesus wasn't really permanently human. His humanity was just like a costume that he could put on and take off, like those Mardi Gras costumes. People mistakenly believe that Jesus just appeared in human form for a few brief years on earth, and then he shed his humanity to resume his heavenly identity as the Son of God in heaven. Many people in New Testament times believe this, and many people still believe it today. But in fact, the earthly human Jesus, the flesh and blood Jesus that the disciples knew, was the real Jesus. Jesus was then and is today fully human, just as human as you or me. In fact, Jesus is more completely human than any of us, because in Jesus we see the fullness of God's original design for the whole human race. We read in Genesis 1:27, God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. So Jesus wasn't just a son of man, a human being. He was and is the Son of Man, the complete expression in a human life of what God created all of us to be. What the disciples saw on the mountain was not a heavenly being inhabiting the earthly body of Jesus, but they saw the glory, the majesty, the splendor of the eternal Father shining powerfully through Jesus' human body, radiating from his completely human form. They saw in the transfigured Jesus the original image of God, which had been twisted and distorted almost beyond recognition by the power and presence of sin, that image of God now magnificently restored in Jesus. And that brilliant light of God was able to shine so perfectly through Jesus because of who Jesus was. Jesus did not come to proclaim himself as king, to set up his own kingdom. It was God who Jesus proclaimed. It was his Father's kingdom, he declared and demonstrated by his words and actions. Jesus so disregarded himself, so distanced himself from himself, that he even spoke of himself in the third person as the Son of Man, who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life for others. So Jesus' life was so completely focused on God that he became utterly transparent. When you looked at him, you saw not him, but the one he proclaimed, the one he was sent to reveal. The light on the mountaintop did not come from Jesus, it came through him, from his heavenly Father, shining so brilliantly because there was nothing in him to get in the way of that light. That's what it means to be the perfect image of God, to be fully and finally human. As awesome as the vision of the transfigured Jesus must have been to those first disciples, far more awesome is the truth that in this vision we see a preview of coming attractions. We see not only who Jesus is on the mountain, we also see who we are going to be. In Romans chapter 6, we read, "Those whom God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, the first Adam, so we will bear the image of the man of heaven, the second Adam, Jesus." And finally, in 1 John chapter 3, we read, "Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed, but what we do know is this, that when we see Jesus, when he is revealed, we will be like him." We are destined to be just like Jesus. And so when Peter saw Jesus shining in glory, assuming that Jesus had brought the three of them there to build a shrine to Jesus and his heavenly visitors, God set the matter straight, telling them, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." The day will come when all will worship Jesus, when every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, as the Bible tells us. And we indeed have come to worship him here in this house that we have built for him. But Jesus calls us to be more than worshipers. He calls us to be his disciples. When Colin is baptized this morning, he will be baptized into Christ. He will become a bearer of Christ, a disciple of Jesus. Jesus calls us to be disciples, listening every day to what he says and doing what he says, so that we may become each day more like him, to become less focused on ourselves, our ideas, our rights, our plans, and increasingly focused on God. And it's not just for our sake that we do this. God wants his image to be perfectly restored in all people. Paul warns us in our second reading that the god of this world, that is Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And that's why Paul goes on to say, "We do not proclaim ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for his sake." It's not about us. It never was about us. It's always about him. We are here not to attract people to us, to our church, but to attract people to Jesus and to his church, so that the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ may one day overcome all blindness to shine in every heart. One person who lived this vision of a God-focused life for others was Mother Teresa. Let me close with this prayer that she taught her sisters of the poor to pray. So let us pray. Dear Jesus, help us to spread your fragrance everywhere we go. Flood our souls with your spirit and your life. Penetrate and possess our whole being so completely that our lives may be only a radiance of yours. Shine through us and be so in us that every soul we come in contact with may feel your presence in our soul. Let them look up and see no longer us, but only Jesus. Stay with us, and then we will begin to shine as you shine, so to shine as to be light to others. The light, O Jesus, will be all from you. None of it will be ours. It will be you shining on others through us. Amen.